You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. 6 years after the end of the recession, the economy continues to grow at a moderate pace. And one effect of the economic uptick is a rise in the number of births nationally.
According to data released yesterday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, U.S. births increased by 1.4% last year. Seems maybe couples who put off having children for financial reasons may now consider adding to their families.
Although the birth rate increase is modest so far, some demographers are speculating that the nation may be poised for a baby bounce.
With us now is Kenneth Johnson, demographer at the University of New Hampshire and a visiting professor at the Applied Population Lab at the UW-Madison. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So this baby bounce idea, now that we're coming back from the recession, we're going to see a significant increase in births in the U.S. Do you buy that?
Well, I think it's an open question right now. This is a very modest increase, and we're still 7 or 8% below what we were before the recession hit. So It is an uptick. It is significant, but we've got a long way to go.
Is it normal that birth rates track the economy? Economy down, birth rates go down, comes back up, they go up? Or is this kind of a more recent phenomenon?
Well, the Great Recession that we've experienced is much more significant than any prior recession we've experienced. The only other thing that's even in the same ballpark as this is the Great Depression itself in the 1930s. And it took a long time for there to be a recovery from that recession. In fact, young women who began their childbearing years early in the Great Depression never did make up for the babies they didn't have during the Great Depression. So there's a lot left to be seen here about what's going to happen.
And looking at some of the charts that came out with this study, our birth rate, I mean, we're still well below when the baby boomers were being born. They were cranking out a lot of babies then.
Oh, yes.
There's more of us to have babies now, but the rate is nowhere near what it was.
No, ironically, even though there were many fewer women to have babies during the baby boom, they actually had they had more babies than we're having right now with this much larger population of women. And the recession hit the youngest women in their early 20s the hardest. And so the big question is whether those women will make up for the babies they didn't have or whether they're not going to have them at all. And that, if they have them, that'll be that baby bump that everybody's thinking about. If they don't have them, we won't see that.
And this is an amazing thing, this huge society-wide thing, but it goes down to a whole lot of individual decisions made person by person. So do demographers try to get at what's going on in the heads of the people who are deciding to have or not have babies given the current economy?
Generally not. That's a very difficult kind of question to ask, and we really don't have many tools to ask that question. So demographers tend to focus more on the numbers and how the numbers are changing. As you say, it is a very remarkable thing to see a society where all those individual decisions are being made produce a situation where we have a dramatic decline in the number of births, and it hits young women the hardest. Women in their 30s really are having babies roughly at the same rate that they did before the recession. It's really the women in their early 20s who have experienced this the most. And so by now, the women who were in their early 20s in 2007 are now getting into their later 20s. And so we should, in the next few years, be able to see whether or not this upturn is going to happen. There's just a little bit of evidence maybe of it happening right now, but we've got a long way to go.
We are talking birth rates in the United States. New report says they're going up for the first time since the Great Recession started. Ken Johnson, demographer, is with us. And for a look at how this is playing out in Wisconsin, we have David Egan Robertson on the line. He's also a demographer. He's with the Applied Population Lab at the UW-Madison. David, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
So from what we know here in Wisconsin, are we mirroring these national statistics?
Yes, it's fairly reasonable to say that sort of as goes the nation, so goes Wisconsin in this case. The number of births in this recent report showing the 2014 births shows a slight increase from the prior year. But as Ken said, and our pattern has been the same since the start of the Great Recession. We're down from a peak of around 73,000 births in 2007 down into sort of the range of 66,000 to 67,000. So like the rest of the country, our number of total births has fallen off about 8% over that 6 to 7 year period.
You said for the most part, as goes the nation, so goes Wisconsin. Are there any factors that have made Wisconsin stand out over the years when it comes to birth rates?
Well, I mean, and Ken, I think, kind of alluded to this as well, is that when you look back over 20-year period, 30-year period, there was just tremendous stability in terms of the number of births varied a little bit up and down depending on how many women were in their sort of prime childbearing years, but the sort of the fertility rate remained very constant for a period from like the mid-1970s up through about 2007, and then all of a sudden the whole game kind of changed with the start of the Great Recession.
Now, I know, and I'll bring Ken back in on this, in some other developed nations, lower birth rate is a big concern. It's an issue of national policy. Places in Europe, Japan, worried that they're not hitting the replacement rate. They're going to see a population decline, not enough young people to take care of the aging generations. How does the U.S. compare to that? How are we different, Ken?
Yeah, that's a good question. The U.S. fertility rates are considerably higher than they are elsewhere in the world, where our women in the United States have an average of about 1.9 babies each. In many European countries, the fertility rate is more like 1.3 or 1.4, 1.5. And they've worked very hard to try and encourage more women to have children with programs to provide them with paid leave and daycare facilities. So in that sense, their fertility rates are significantly lower than ours are. Now, our rates did drop somewhat during the recession. They dropped, as I was saying to you before, mostly for the youngest women. There were quite big differences between different racial groups. Hispanics, for example, experienced very significant declines in fertility, especially their people in their early 20s. The fertility rate for women in their early 20s who were Hispanic was down 34%. I mean, that's quite dramatic. More modest declines for whites and for blacks. So a lot of variability. The other point that is important is to realize that we're having these fewer births despite the fact that we have more women in their prime childbearing years right now than we had in 2007. So we're getting significantly fewer babies from more women of childbearing age. So that's just underscores how dramatic the drop in fertility was with the onset of the recession. And the marriage rates are down, too. Most children are born, about 60% are born within marriage, and the marriage rates dropped as the recession began. So you asked me before whether demographers try to get into why individuals make decisions. Well, indicators like the fertility rate dropping dramatically for young women, the marriage rate dropping dramatically, underscores the fact that this is something that's affecting a very broad cross-section of the society. It's not just one or two groups. So it's a remarkably striking occurrence in modern American demographic history.
Well, and we've talked about that 20-something age cohort. I'm looking at charts for under 20, teen births, and really significant declines in that age group, plummeting in the 15 to 17 age
right.
bracket.
Yes.
And this is something that was going steadily down and really sharply down, it looks like, in the last few years, Ken.
Yes, and many... groups are very happy to see that decline in teen pregnancy, since teenage mothers are the ones who have the most difficult time, with funds, and very often they're unmarried. So it makes it much more difficult and challenging for them to raise children. So generally, the decline in the fertility rates among teenagers is considered a good thing by almost everyone. So, one point, although the fertility rates have declined fairly significantly for them, they don't produce a very large share of the American births. So a big drop in their fertility rate is not going to produce a dramatic change in the number of children.
Interesting. And David, I wanted to ask you, are we seeing similar downturns in teen pregnancies here in Wisconsin?
Yes, that's true. Since 2007, the decline in terms of number of births to teens has actually fallen 40%. And as well, their fertility rate, what we call the age-specific fertility rate for teens, has also gone down 40%. And certainly it's part of a longer-term pattern which stretches back to like the early 1990s when teen rates, birth rates began to fall, but it's been accelerated quite a bit over the last 6 to 7 years.
And David, I'm looking at charts here, 35 to 39 year olds and 40 to 44 year olds. Seems like births among those brackets inching up over the years fairly steadily.
Yeah, and those have held fairly constant, sort of all the age groups that you can break up the childbearing years into, and it's true in Wisconsin as well. There's been a slight decline during the Great Recession years, but it's very small compared to, as Ken pointed out, some of the really sizable changes that have been happening in parents in their 20s.
We're talking about how the improving economy is affecting birth rates in the United States, and we want to hear from you. Did the last recession scuttle or postpone your plans for having a family? Are you planning to start a new family or add on to your family? Maybe now that the economy is getting a little better, what kind of factors do you consider in making that kind of choice? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation with demographers Kenneth Johnson and David Egan Robertson after this look at the news headlines with Noah Oshinsky.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about a prospective baby boom as the economy improves and people consider having more children. And we'd like to hear from you. Did the recent recession put your plans for having children on hold? Are you considering adding to your family due to a better economic outlook? Are you maybe in wait-and-see mode? Well, you can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can tweet us. Our handle is Central Time WPR.
Kenneth Johnson and David Egan Robertson stay with us. They're both demographers, both affiliated with the Applied Population Lab at the UW-Madison. We'll go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. We've got Stephen on the line in Stevens Point. Stephen, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is really interesting to me because I feel like I'm right. I'm the exact person you're talking about, pretty much. I'm 28 years old. My wife is 28 years old. And we don't have kids yet, and we put it off because the recession, she had a hard time finding a job. She did find one now, and we're doing good in that respect. But I think the bigger factor for us was that between the two of us, we had $100,000 in student loans that we had to pay off before our life could really start. So when we graduated from university with our degrees, we had about $1,700 a month in student loan payments that previous generations just didn't have. And I think that is the real cause that we might have seen in a lot of these reductions in families, because it's basically putting an entire generation's life on hold for 5-10 years.
And Stephen, can I ask a personal question? Our demographers are wondering if people like you are now not going to have kids or are going to do it, but later than you might have. Where are you and your wife on this now?
Well, yeah, it's actually kind of funny because, you know, I was always kind of on the fence about having a family. And, you know, I would like it, but I could go without too, you know. And my wife was very, very wanting to have a family. And so I wanted to have a family too. Actually, just recently, she said something that scared me. She said, well, maybe we don't need to have one. I'm 28 years old now. It's getting to that point where we're at high risk, and it kind of worried me a little bit. I think we will. I'm confident that we will still have a family. But yeah, it did delay us by, you know, probably 10 years.
Stephen, thanks a lot for that call. And Ken, we've heard this from guests on related topics in the past, that this could be, demographically speaking, a lost generation. They don't have the money they feel to afford a family. They've got the student loan debt. By the time they do, they start thinking it's too late. Is this the kind of story, the kind of statistic you're going to be watching for?
Well, one thing I would say that might reassure them is that the average age at first birth for a woman right now is just about 28. So they would not be late relative to their cohorts in terms of when they had children. But yes, these issues of balancing work and family and debt are the kinds of issues that we at least suspect are factors in why there's been these delays in having children. And the question you asked was a very appropriate one. Are they And the one that demographers like David and I are really wondering about is this question of, are these just delayed births? Are they going to come a little bit later? Which would mean that all of a sudden you might have classrooms with a few more kids in them than you would have otherwise, or are these going to be actual foregone births? And as I said to you near the beginning of the program, the cohort of women who was in their early 20s in 1930 never made up completely for the fact that they had delayed having children at the beginning of the Great Recession. In fact, they had that cohort who were in their early 20s in 1930 are the cohort that have had more childless women in them, more women who never had children than any other cohorts before or since. So this is the big question, are whether couples like the one you just talked to going to just have these children a little bit later, or are they not going to have them?
Stephen, thanks for that call. If you are making that similar decision right now, we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you put off having children during the Great Recession, maybe during your 20s? Are you trying to figure out if now is the time to do it? What has you on the fence? Which way are you leaning? 800-642-1234 is the number to call as we talk to demographers David Egan Robinson and Ken Johnson.
Rob, one point I wanted to make to you, just to give your listener an idea of the magnitude of this this birth dearth, is that I calculated what would have happened had women continued to have babies at the same rates that they were having them in 2007, just before the recession, which were not very high rates compared to the baby boom. And my calculation is that there are roughly 500,000 fewer births occurring right now than there would have been had the birth rates of the pre-recession period continued. So that's 500,000 fewer births out of about 4 million births. So we're talking about a significant number of children. I think around 2.8 million if we took the whole period from 2007 to 2014. So this is a significant number of children that haven't been born, and that's why demographers are so interested in this question of whether they're going to come late or they're not going to come.
And I wonder, David, if that's the case, this missing group, does that mean fewer workers to replace people as they retire in the future, fewer healthcare workers to take care of people as they age in the future? Are we going to have a shortage of people we need?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and it is a strong concern here in Wisconsin. It's been discussed by a number of economic development people at a state level. As you look out, particularly 25 or 30 years from now, that the size of the working age population will really not be much different in terms of numbers in like 2040 compared to what it was at 2010. So it is a concern, and I've done some birth projections as part of my work with the state's Department of Administration, and it's sort of a case where I was expecting a bit more of an earlier rebound in birth, but there has been this gap between what was projected for the last couple of years, between what was projected and what actually occurred in terms of number of births. So even we sort of look at these in our projection series in sort of 5-year chunks of time. So the number of births that have actually occurred from 2010 to 2015 is about 4% less than what was projected. So again, that always, then you have to start thinking, okay, what's the population then going to look like 20 years from now and then 25 years from now when those people are entering the workforce?
Now, here's a crazy question, maybe from a non-demographer. From the perspective of the job you guys do, is there such a thing as a good birth rate, an ideal birth rate, something that we want to see, Ken?
Oh, I was afraid you'd ask me a question like that. Demographers generally aren't going to, at least I'm not going to get into a discussion like that. I mean, our job is mainly to try and understand what's happening to the population and maybe, in David's case, make educated guesses about what it might be in the future. I know I've done a lot of research on rural areas in the United States which have very low numbers of births, and in many counties, including some in northern Wisconsin, there are actually more people dying than being born. And I can tell you in communities like that people would like to see more births than they're having in those communities. So You know, again, it's the feelings in many communities is that they'd like to see more babies born than people dying. So, you know, certainly these low birth rates are a concern in communities like that, where there really aren't that many young women of childbearing age. So if the birth rates are down and the number of women of childbearing age is diminishing, as they are in many parts of rural America, and including parts of northern Wisconsin, that becomes a very real concern locally. It means school districts are going to have to merge. It means that you know, towns are not going to have as much population as they would have had otherwise.
We'll leave it there. Kenneth Johnson, David Egan Robertson, thanks to both of you for joining us. Kenneth Johnson, demographer at the University of New Hampshire, visiting now at UW-Madison, and David Egan Robertson, demographer at the Applied Population Lab at UW-Madison.